picked up my first paintbrush in 1999. After I retired from the telephone company, I decided, well, I really started on another project and then I developed it. But anyway, it involved painting. So what I was going to do, I was going to hire the kids from Alabama A&M in Calhoun to do my painting stuff for me. Then it dawned on me, I have a dress shop, a girlfriend and I have a ladies' dress shop here in Calhoun. And we just went into it, we didn't even bother. We would just decide we wanted a boutique shop. I learned from that, from retail, whatever you're going to do, you need to know everything you can find out about it. Because if you don't, they eat you alive. Yeah. So I said, no, I got to go back, go learn how to paint and draw. So that's what I did.
So you had the idea of recreating Old Town.
Well, that idea came up. I've been active with the city for years on boards and all this stuff. I was up at the building department one day. As many times I've been in that building, this picture has never caught my eye. But I went to the elevator and it was this beautiful picture up there. It said, Churches of Decatur, Alabama. And I turned around, I just didn't get on the elevator. I just turned around and went back and looked at it. It was a beautiful photo. It was photos, beautiful. But there was not one church on there that I know.
From Old Town.
Right. Yeah. And I said, now we had church on every other block. We got a church. Just, I'm serious. You know, it's just a church on every other block.
Beautiful churches,
yeah.
Too.
And I said, somebody should do something about this. And it's clear as day. I always say it's God. It's clear as day. So why not you? And I said, I'm not going to do that. I said, I can't do that. That's what I said. I can't do that. And it's clear as day. He said, yes, you can. And I said, well, I'm not going to do it. I wrestled with about 3 weeks. He just would not leave me alone. It just would not leave me. So I put together a board, gave him my idea of what I want to do, Most of us back in the 80s when the urban renewal came through, we call it urban removal, what we call it. But anyway, when they came through, now some of the old Annabelle homes, they were in disarray. They went through just everything. Just tore down everything. So I told them, I said, what I want to do, I want to recreate Old Town with art. And from the very first moment, the board been on right on with me all the way. I couldn't have done it without them. Because Peggy and Dr. Raglan, they do most of my research for me. They said, listen, you can't stay in the archives and paint. Say, you paint and we'll get the information. So that's how it started.
You got two great helpers there.
Oh, God, yes. I could not have done it. And the information we have collected, and so it was just kind of blow your mind. Old Town is the very first community that was established in the city of Decatur.
Period.
In 1821. The city wasn't incorporated to 1826. So, when I go to the city, I say, do you realize Old Town is the backbone for this city? The two oldest houses in the city of Decatur, they're in Old Town. Really, Old Town starts, you know where St. McGee's on Bank Street?
I do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you're right down from the old State Bank building?
Mm-hmm.
That's in Old Town. They don't want to say it, but it's really in old time.
That's been another interesting thing, too, is how the different parts of the town are called different things. And then there's the whole political division of the historic districts.
Let me tell you something. We've been fighting for years. They have been trying their best to take old part of Old Town out of Old Town, and we will not have it.
And that's the Bank Street part?
That's the Bank Street part. Mm-hmm. That block from the old State Bank building and the next, we got that home, rest home, nursing home, that was a motel there, but now they got a senior citizen home right next to the old State Bank building.
Okay.
And then the next block was St. McGee's in. All of that was from there on back to Highway 20 is Old Town. You know where Leon Lakeside High School, Leon Chester Elementary School, you came in?
I do.
Okay. They go Old Town, go back to there. All that back over there on the other, and on the other side of the highway, all that's Old Town. People do not realize the very first hospital in the city of Decatur was a black physician and surgeon. You've heard of Dr. Willis E. Stirrell, the Stirrell's home?
I have, yeah.
That's Dr. Stirrell. He's the physician who came here and opened the hospital.
The cottage home?
The cottage home infirmary, absolutely.
So was the infirmary on the corner there? Like, was it that...
It was on the corner of Washington and Vine Street.
The first lot on...
Uh-huh.
Okay.
First, That's exactly right.
So there's a house there now.
Right. Mrs. Bielefeld's house is there now. Right where that house is. That's where it extends until about... Probably, if you think of house-wise, probably three houses, the building took up that much of the block. And then, after Mrs. Stirrell's died, George Reynolds bought it and made it into a funeral home.
Okay.
And then it was there until it burned. When it burned, then that's how they built the one over here on Moulton Street. And, of course, we had up on Bank Street was where the Magnolia Drugstore was.
And was that was Dr. Serves's?
No.
Okay.
No, drugstore was Darden and A.O. Sheffield. They were the one who had Magnolia Drugstore. Here's the advertisement from them. That was, and believe it or not, I did not realize Mr. Sheffy was the co-owner of the drugstore until after Mrs. Sheffy. I grew up next door to Mrs. Sheffy, and I did not know. Of course, we was in kids, who cares about history, whatever. I said, what information I could have gotten for her if I had the sense to realize what history lived right next door to me. See, when we moved there, when I was with my sixth or seventh grade, she was already a widow. Mr. Sheff was already dead. So I never knew Mr. Sheffy. But Mrs. Sheffy lived to be like 102, 103.
Wow.
Yeah. And I said, and I grew up right next door to her and never realized that until I got into pulling all this stuff together.
Huh.
Yeah.
It's funny how you make connections.
I know.
Later.
Yeah. And it's amazing to me. And of course, I knew her grandkids. Well, really, I knew Mrs. Sheffy, her sons. She had two sons and a daughter, because they were, cause now the one son lived in Moulton. Okay. And he worked on the railroad. And when he get off from working on the railroad, he'll come up and stay at Miss Sheffield's house till his wife and the kids come pick him up from Moulton. But the other son, Arthur and Cynthia, they'll come every summer and spend the summer with Miss Sheffield right next door to us.
Huh.
Yeah. And I thought, goodness gracious, all of this history, and I didn't tap into it.
So are these your watercolors?
Some of them.
Okay.
I told him it's about a fourth of them.
Where are the rest of them?
in every bedroom in the house, out there, anywhere I can stick them.
Okay.
I mean, where you put 350 pictures.
Oh my gosh.
Anywhere you can stick them.
Do other people have some of your paintings?
No, other than prints.
Okay.
But none of the originals never will be sold. I have a trust fund. They can never, ever be sold original.
Okay. It's a collection. It all belongs together.
It has to be a collection. I cannot break it up. No.
Are you going to, like, display it somewhere, like, permanently? Or?
Yeah, we do it at C.O. Scottsboro Museum. Civil Rights Museum. Over in Old Town.
Okay.
That's our project now.
Oh, the home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That y'all are working on the
renovating.
Yeah. Yes.
This is right here. This is what it looks like now.
Yeah.
Okay. This is what the render is going to be when we finish. This is just phase one.
Okay.
Because phase one is not big enough. So what we're going to do, we have acquired this property from the city and all the land to the end of Church Street by the block.
Yeah.
So we're going to just come out from this side and extend phase two that way. And, of course, there's some adjustments going to have to be made. But this is where we're looking at something on the order of phase two.
Wow.
Blending in some way with this architecture, okay?
Yeah.
We're looking at something, phase two going to be a showstopper.
Yeah.
Okay?
This is very modern.
In a different location? Or it's
no,
going to be physically connected?
It's going to be in the same place.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. This is our vision. So that's what we're working on, getting money now for it.
Well, that's a beautiful vision.
Now, that was the real film. This was the cottage home infirmary we was talking about.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's okay. That ended up being this. But that's the original cottage home infirmary.
And that is no longer there, right?
None.
That's where they're doing that. They're building a house there.
Oh, they got houses all over there. It's
no.
It's very few homes left. Everything you see is probably none of them is left over there.
I love this.
Yeah,
I love the combination of the monochromatic with the color.
Yeah, me too.
That's really cool.
What's going on with the boys' club over there? Are they rebuilding it or?
Well, they renovating it. City, and don't ask me how, I've asked them 100 times and they won't give me an answer. But I cannot understand how in the world the city got it. But city's running now. But that's not here nor there. But we already got the funds. Well, they got the funds last year, you know, since COVID and everything. But they're going to completely renovate both of them. Yeah, they're going to completely renovate.
But it's still going to be a boys'
club. Oh, yeah. People be that same thing. Same name and everything. They're just going to renovate because it needs renovation. Yeah.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I know this photo.
Yeah.
You know, you're...
I've seen that.
Okay. Yeah. And you know he lived in... Oh, it's... This is Leo and Mike Namey.
Okay, yeah.
They in Old Town. I grew up right behind Leo.
And he had the line...
In the neighborhood.
Like in his yard.
No, he had a... No. Mike Namey had a grocery store. And we had the Eli movie theater. We had a theater in Old Town. Yeah. Mike Namey stayed across. Him and his wife stayed in the back of the store. The Eli movie theater was across the street. Next door to the theater was the cage with Leo.
Wow.
Right next to Leo was Dr. Sherrard's house. He put up a stone wall, some kind of buffer, the sound from Leo.
You'd need a buffer. Yeah.
But look, Leo was just like a member of the community. Nobody thought a thing about Leo. I'm serious.
He never got out, I assume.
Of course he did.
Oh, he did?
Oh, he did. And when Leo got out, it was just like a telegram. Leo's out. You hauled down the street, Leo's out. And we were running the house. And when they got, he didn't attack anybody, but when they got him back up, they said, Leo's up. We go back out and play again.
Oh, my gosh.
What's the truth? We did it. Until after I went off to college, he was still alive when I went to college.
first heard, I thought, like, oh, like a mountain lion or something. But, like,
I got all the information on when he was bought, where it was bought from, and everything. I got all the documents somewhere in there. Now, we had about three grocery stores was owned by black, but all the other grocery stores, which was probably 10 or 15 in Old Town, they were owned by Jews or the Lebanese. And you got to realize Old Town was integrated 250 years ago. In Old Town, we had Lebanese, Jews, blacks, white, all in Old Town. So, and all of the black business I'm talking to you about, they were owned by blacks. The service station, the cleaners, we had doctors, dentists, lawyers. We had a TV repair shop. We had our own plaster, our own plumber. Everything you need of an upscale clothing store was in Old Town. Huh.
When you were growing up?
Yeah. And it was there until probably in the late 70s. Most of us still there in the 80s when Urban Renewal came through. But you know, like all the advertising, when I grew up, we had Coal Yard, all of that stuff was right there in Old Town. Huh. And if you know what First Baptist Church is, you know what First Baptist Church, mm-hmm. there was a strip right across the street from it. On the corner was Mr. Harris TV and Radio Repair Shop, the Green Frog Cafe, Mr. G.W. Barber Shop, you know, it's another little cafe in there. Then on the corner, there was a coal yard across the street from there. You know where the Turner Searle Resource Center over there?
Right on the railroad tracks?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right behind the depot.
Yeah.
That used to where B&B Supermarket used to be.
Okay. That's kind of what I was thinking, that there was a supermarket there.
It was right there. On the other corner was Tip Top.
Which was?
A grocery store.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Two grocery stores, right.
Oh, well, wait. There's nothing. Yeah. On Church Street, which is about 9 blocks, it was 5 grocery stores on Church Street. Huh. It was about 9 blocks.
Wow. So, like, are they specializing in different things?
No, all of them. You went to all of them. All of them had everything. Yeah. We had a fresh fish market on Church Street. Huh. Wow. Only fresh fish market in the city of Decatur was in Old Town.
Wow. So people from other parts of Decatur.
Oh, yeah. Everybody came up. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Where was the Green Frog? It was
right across the street from the First Baptist Church.
Okay, and then was there another cafe?
The Mrs. Buck, the Southern Cafe, was sitting right on the railroad, right across from the railroad track. Right across from Bisbee was Mrs. Busby, Southern Cafe.
What about that? There's a building there that's still there that used to be a grocery store across from First.
That's where Joe Brown's grocery store, this wasn't the original Joe Brown. It was in the next block.
How long has it been closed?
Joe Brown been dead, and he's closed it. Joe Brown been dead for, let me see, I've been retired 20-some years, let's see. And Joe Brown died. Shoot, Joe Brown was dead, I guess 15, 20 years. And somebody else, they had a barbershop went in there.
Okay.
They had a barbershop to go in there. And then somebody else, another young lady, her husband bought it because I think they intention of doing another restaurant there. But they bought it, so the guy who's in at the barbershop, he moved his barbershop somewhere else.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And that wasn't nothing to do.
But that was not the original Joe Brown grocery store. It was up the street.
Was that the one across from the church, from First Baptist?
Yeah.
That building sitting down the corner.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Well, you think it's a grocery store?
Right.
Okay. That's the second Joe Brown grocery store. That wasn't the original from a really Old Town.
Okay.
Yeah. And in that block, you come up right, like I said, right across from First Baptist. And they even had NCO Club right across on this street from First Baptist, NCO Club. It's just all kind of history in Old Town.
But all the way down the street, too.
All the way down the street, you had business. And you had the houses mingling with the business. You know, it was a grocery store. And most of the grocery store they live right next door to the grocery store or live behind in a little apartment behind the grocery store. And what my purpose is to make sure when I'm long gone that museum will still be in existence and have a legacy of Old Town. That's my purpose and my goal.
Well, it just seems like there's a lot of enthusiasm, thankfully, for the history.
But it is. And so many people don't even realize it. Don't even know. Let me tell you, it's just so heartbreaking. I go to schools and I really told them, I said, listen, I'm too busy. I can't have time. But anyway, the lady they talking to, I said, okay, I'll come. I started doing things, going around to the schools, like 10th and 11th and 12th graders. And do you realize, probably out of, let's say, 100 students, you might have 3 in there who've ever heard of the Scottsboro Boys Trial. 3.
Oh,
and I'm sitting there with my mouth wide open. It's shocking to me. How do you not know this history that happened right here in your city? And it make me even sadder to see the black students do not know. Now that just really saddens me. I got an issue with my community. It's up to us to tell our history to our kids. I don't want to leave. You know your history more than I do and your culture, and I know mine better than you do. Mm-hmm. It's up to me to pass it on to my grandkids. That's the way I feel about it. I don't want to leave it to somebody else to tell it. Because you're going to tell the way you see it, but I lived it and I know it. Mm-hmm. When I go to church groups, I'm telling you, I'd be fired up. I say, it is no excuse for these kids not to know this. There's none whatsoever.
Yeah, that's really sad.
It is sad. And then when I ask them, I say, well, do you remember when they tell you go to court, you know, that you don't have the money to pay for an attorney, that they'll provide one for you, and you had to have a jury appear? They say, yeah. So where do you think that came from? Well, we don't know. It came from the Supreme Court through the Scottsboro Boys Trial. That's how you got those decisions. And it happened right here in Decatur. In Old Town, the people were traumatized during the whole trial. Can you imagine 3 years, people scared to go out of their house, not knowing if they're going to be cut down, shot. The Klans rampaged the neighborhood up and down, and shooting up the neighborhood. And of course, James Royal, 16-year-old kid, was killed. You know, way back then, they used to deliver prescriptions in groceries on a bicycle. You know, we had a basket on the bicycle.
Yeah.
And they did. And anyway, he was caught during one of those times. And he was killed.
For what?
He was delivering medicine, and he was delivering medicine, and the Klans came through shooting up the neighborhood.
Oh,
and a bullet caught
him. Just indiscriminately.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, nobody was ever arrested. Nobody was ever tried or fought anything. But, yeah. So can you imagine? Because my grandmother and my mother used to talk. Can you imagine? And they said, and if you talked about it, And you got to realize the time it was. Most of them was maids and worked for the Goodyear Mill or the Ingalls or whatever. If you talked about it and didn't agree with it, you said that you didn't think they were guilty, you were fired. You didn't have a job. So they was, talk in between themselves, but they couldn't talk about it. Because you got to understand, they had to put a roof over our head and had to feed their kids. So they had to do what they had to do.
But then other people made those difficult decisions.
Absolutely.
To go to the court and testify about, you know, qualified jurors and all.
But you know, of course. But do you know they didn't have one? We had three listed. We had doctors, lawyers, business owners, property owners, lawyers, dentists, non-qualified.
Yeah.
I said, yes, it's wrong. But I said, you got to look at the time it happened, though. You got to look at the period it happened. Because I thought my mother was terrible. I integrated the bus, honey, when I was in 11th grade. And my mother's was the worst whooping I ever got. I could not understand why, in my mind, I could not understand. Why are you punishing me? I said, do you realize we pay the same thing? Why do I have to go to the back? And I organized, well, I didn't give about 9 kids to go along with. I had one sister, no brother. So I made her go along with me because when we grew up, when one came home from school, both of us had to come home. You didn't come one 30 minutes later. That's just the way if we went to the prom, we came back the same time, you know.
Yeah.
So I made her, because you can't go home. You know, you go home without me, you know, my dad's going to know something's up. So anyway, I got persuaded about 7 or 8, 7 more kids to go along with me. The rest of them wouldn't go along with me. And really true, we had on our route, we had 2 bus drivers. Mr. White, he was the nicest man, he was just as nice as he could be to us. But Mr. Turner, he was awful. He was awful to us. I mean, you could not get to your seat, but we would jack the bus off, you fall and I down, you know. Or he'll close the door on you before you get out the door. He was just terrible with the bottom line. So I had decided we're doing it on Mr. Turner's bus. Because Mr. White was nice. We can't do it on his bus. We do it on Mr. Turner's bus. So we did. I put my token in, and I blocked out right behind Mr. Turner. The other came in. I said, don't you go to the back. I said, sit down. My sister, I said, you had better sit down. So she did. They sit down. He said, you all got to get up and go to the back. I said, I'm not moving. Now, we're talking about when I finished high school when I was 16, 17. Anyway, because I started school early.
Did you graduate from Lakeside?
Yeah. Yeah. And I went to a Rosenwald school my first 2 years of elementary school in Cedar Lake. I went to the Rosenwald school. My family had been in Cedar Lake for 150 years, my people. Anyway, so now, and you know, see, if my mother, we were not raised to say anything, whether it was right or wrong, against adults. You say, yes, ma'am. Whatever Miss So-and-so tell you do, you say, yes, ma'am, whether you liked it or not. That's the way I was raised. And, of course, I knew I was going to get it when I got back home. I knew I was going to get it. But anyway, I didn't care. I mean, I just said something I felt like I had to do. So he said, I said, you all got to go to the back of the bus. And I said, I am not going to the back of the bus. I said, so you can move the bus or we can sit here. And you know, the bus stop stop at every corner. He started the bus up. We got on Vine Street. So he started to bus up, he would stop at another stop. He took us to Second Avenue where Woolworth was and Walgreens across the street. Woolworth was on this path. He opened the door. He said, "Now, get off." I said, "Thank you very much." And then we all got off. Show you how 16-year-old don't have any common sense. I never planned on how I was going to get back home. We'd have money to ride the bus back home. So we all had to walk back.
Long walk.
How far was that?
Oh, from Second Avenue. Oh, we did it all the time. Walk from Second Avenue all the way back to Lafayette Street. You know what Second Avenue is downtown Decatur?
Yeah, I think I remember.
You know where the courthouse and all that is over there, all the way down there?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we walked all the way down Second Avenue, hit Lee Street, come on down Bank Street, and come on back to Old Town.
Nice.
Yeah.
And so what happened next time you got on the bus?
I didn't. Honey, my mother, when I got back home, the whole neighborhood knew Francis Davis had integrated the bus, sit on the front seat of the bus. When we got back home, everybody knew it. My mother had switches waiting on me and my sister. And honey, that's the worst whipping I ever gotten. And she made me promise her, even when I went to college, and she made me promise her that I would never do that again. And when I went off to college, she reminded me, because I went to Tuskegee, that's why I started off to Tuskegee. She made me, and I told her, in honest to goodness, I did not. Bad as I wanted to get involved, I did not. And she, and I said, I promised her I would not do it, and I did. I didn't do it till I got out of college and got on my own. I did not. She said, and I couldn't understand her reason. But as I got older, I did. It never crossed my mind the Klan may burn the cross without how. Who cares? You know, when you're 16, it never crossed my mind that we would be in danger. Or she may have...
You're invincible at that age.
Right. And she would have repercussions that she didn't have a job. And it never crossed my mind. But as I got older, we discussed it before she passed. And I told her, I said, I understand now why you forbid me to do the things that I thought that I should be doing. But, you know, that's just... And I thought, well, you know, all these years, maybe God was just getting me prepared to do this job. I don't know. You know, who knows? You know?
What was the effect of, I mean, so obviously when you did that, you knew about the Scottsboro Boys, and you knew the history and had some of that in your, do you think that the effect of that on people who lived in Old Town was, I don't know, did people think more about those things as a result of that, or?
I mean, to much later, because you got to realize those people's livelihood depends upon the white man. You got to understand that. They were afraid to talk against it or talk about it or saying that we, you know, even though I pay the same amount, I got to do this, I got to go back to... They were afraid to. I mean, because if you didn't have a teacher's job or a preacher, and then the Goodyear mill started hiring later in the 50s, early 650 Goodyear mill, and of course some of the men worked at Eagle Shipyard. But you got to remember, if you didn't have a college education, this is what your job was.
It sounds like a lot of the people who maybe were, like, in particular some of the guys who went and testified that there were qualified jurors, you know, were like dentists and doctors.
Yeah,
and,
but do you know, okay, dentists and doctors, they make their living off of black people too.
Sure. But then they got chased out of town, basically, didn't they? A lot of them?
No. Most of them stayed here and died with the banks and Sykes and all of them. And they had people, some from Cedar Lake, some of the people from Cedar Lake, with landowners and stuff. They died in Cedar Lake. Some of them, I remember as kids, who were the potential jurors. No. But you got to understand, it's hard for you to understand because you never have lived the situation.
Obviously,
but you got to understand that even though you were a teacher, you still was governed by the Board of Education. And it's still certain things they didn't cross. And it's so odd to me as I got older, when I think about all these things, I got the first time in my life to hear my mother ever say anything bad about a white person. Never. We would, in our household, that was never mentioned. My mother worked at the Goodyear Mill till she got, but she couldn't work at the Goodyear Mill. Then she went into work for Mr. Arthur Brown until both of them died. Then she retired. She never, ever, never. But we were taught that you are as good as anybody else and you can do what you want to do. She said, that's why I'm working here so that I can send you to college. So you won't have to do what I do. My sister and I talked about it. I said, don't you think sometimes, because when we was growing up, when adults talk, no kids was around. When adults talk, kids go out to play or you go into another room. You didn't get involved in dust. And I listen to these kids, these parents talk about everything in front of the kids. And I'm sitting there with my mouth wide open. You know, that was never happened when I was growing up, you know. I said, do you think sometimes they discuss these things? You know, when they got together, you know, I wonder if they, but they never voiced that to us. We was brought up, and I said, how can they feel that way? But we was brought up to everybody treat everybody right, no matter what. You do the right thing. And I think about it now. And that's what I live by. Treat everybody the way you want to be treated. I don't care who it is. Everybody deserves a good morning. Everybody. I don't care if it's the lowest person. They deserve a good morning. Like I say, it's just kind of like the way I was brought up. And all the people, now that, don't get me wrong, there were certain people in the neighborhood that we didn't deal with. Like the folks who ran the liquor houses and the shot houses, we weren't allowed to even go on that street, you know, and we were, you know. Mm-hmm. And those people, I mean, we didn't have day-to-day contact with. Don't get me wrong. There was elements in the neighborhood that we didn't deal with now. But we weren't allowed to deal with it. We weren't allowed to associate with it. And that's just, you know, that's just the way we were.
Were you living in Decatur in the Tommy Lee Hines?
I most certainly was. I was setting up that telephone company, working at a telephone company when it happened.
Were you involved in any of the protests or anything?
During the march, I was at work that day. And I did not know the march was going on. But anyway, I knew when something was going on because I started off as an operator. Because they was called downstairs. Nobody could call them. I said, what's going on? What's going on? Because we know when I was on the operator, when that switchboard light up, we knew the minute Elvis Presley died, that switchboard lit up. And we said, what's going on? What's going on? So we plugged in, listened to the conversation. Was it Elvis Presley dead? You know? So anyway, so I said, what's going on? And they said, they got a protest, and the Klans and the black people fight. I said, you're kidding. So I jumped in my car. And my aunt, who I told you won Wind Service Station, my aunt was involved in it. Several of my cousins, one of my cousins was shot. And anyway, and my aunt passed away about 6 years ago. And I guess I was like, who took care of all her stuff? Anyway, I found the papers where the court papers where her court case against the Klan during the Tommy Lee Hines thing. I got the papers. Hmm. Yep.
Wow, awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Did she win?
Hmm?
She won?
No, nothing really came out of it. No. No. Mm-mm.
What about your cousin who got shot?
He went to the hospital and got well, and that was it.
That was it.
No. No.
So he got shot on Bank Street?
Yeah, no. Right there in the curb. That's when the clash happened. No, when you leave Bank Street and turn, make that turn on Lee Street.
Like Bank becomes Lee, right?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, Bank becomes Lee in that curve. Uh-huh. That's where all the clash happened, right there.
Is there a marker or anything there? That
no.
Can I write that?
No. But there's a lot of things that in the work that have not been done. It's a lot of things, you know. Believe it or not, we just got Old Town as a historic place about, 8 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
8, 9 years ago, we got the sign up and everything. And, of course, we have about 5 churches in Old Town that's on the register. It's a historical place. We got about 5. And 3 of them, Rayfield, the architect Rayfield, First Baptist Church, that's his architect. Kings Ramos, he was the architect. Wayman's Chapel, he was the architect of. And when you go to First Baptist, if you look there on the side, it's a plaque there on the side by this long. It has his name on, Wallace A. Rayfield.
Okay. I think Dr. Ragland showed that to us.
Okay.
When we were older than one day.
Yeah.
And then he said Wayman Chapel was maybe part of it was designed.
Mm-hmm. Wayman's Chapel is on Church Street. And Garner's Ramore, we kind of think Garner's Ramore, but in his autobiography, the book I got, it shows Kings Ramore, First Baptist, and I think it's Wayman's Chapel is in that book.
I think that's what Dr. Ragland said.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Is that Kings Ramore?
This is the Kings Ramore. They tore it down.
But it was on this. Was it on the same spot?
It was on. No.
No.
Okay. Where the Kings Ramore Church is now?
Yeah.
No. Well, they have built a resource center on that spot now. The church is on the corner of Vine Street. Then they bought the other property where it was,
mm-hmm.
and behind it
is where the old church was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh huh. Gotcha. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, this is the one, because I grew up, it was Kings Ramore, the parsonage, and the house I grew up in. Next to Miss Sheff, what I was telling you about, next to her.
Yeah, that's what.
And this is, we got about 3 versions of the First Baptist Church. It's 3 versions. This is the oldest version.
Huh.
And this is how it was listed.
First Baptist Church colored.
Huh. And then it's another one somewhere here. It's another version. And this is the version of it right now. But you can see the difference in the roof lines and all this stuff where they add all this stuff, how they redone it. Yeah. But it's another one somewhere.
So these are 3 different prints from, or paintings from 3 different photographs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who is this?
This, we have not found out the lady's name. Don't know. I call her Lady in Blue. But it's one of the houses on Grove Street over in Old Town. but we have not been able, we got the photo, we cannot find anybody who know the lady. I don't know, I don't have a clue her name.
So earlier you said that you felt like it was up to you to pass along the history of your people in your neighborhood to younger generations, right?
Absolutely. Me and anybody else who wants to get involved. Don't get me wrong. Anybody else who wants to get involved, I'm all for it. But I haven't got anybody to come along with me on the paintings and everything, and not saying that it's somebody who won't. Maybe when I'm gone, somebody finish painting the rest of it, because it's still about 400 more houses that hadn't been painted, if we can find them. And a lot of the business we have not found pictures of. Because you got to realize way back in the 1940s and 50s, it wasn't a lot of picture taking. You know, I'm talking about, you know, very few people had the camera. Then when Polaroid finally came out, you know, it's very few people got pictures. I mean, we just didn't take pictures. Well, we didn't have, could afford a camera, the bottom line.
I guess it wasn't a matter of, like, drop and roll film off at the drugstore.
Well, we had on Bank Street was Kodak camera shop, Crump's Camera Shop, worked on it. But you got to realize, a lot of folks had to put, it's between buying a roll of film and buying bread. You know, and picture taking just wasn't important. You know,
the newspaper probably didn't prioritize the events there as much as maybe other places.
But you know, it's so interesting. The little newspaper and a paper over in Huntsville, Black newspaper, is so interesting how they wrote articles then, how the authors wrote now. They have always, so-and-so visited Mrs. So-and-so, and they had a tea party, and then they described what they had, and who came in with the hat on, and the purse. It is so interesting when you start reading all that stuff, how they, the writing of artists was totally different. Because I got some articles, you'll read, they'll say, like one of the business, they had a booming business this week or something like that. All kind of stuff. It's crazy.
So when did you become interested in, like, preserving the history of your childhood and your in the neighborhood? Like, when did you realize that was important?
I told him the story. I've been very active with the city boys boards and on boards and things. It's not very few boards in the city of K that I hadn't been on at one time or the other. Because I want to be engaged. I want to know what's going on. And I don't want to know how the city operates. So when I got a problem, I know how to handle the problem. You know, and that's my purpose. So one day I was at the building department. And I went to the elevator. And for some reason, I have many times I've been in that building. I have never, ever noticed this picture. And it caught my eye. And I turned, once you become a painter, your perception is amazing to me. You see things totally different than before. Anyway, it caught my eye. I turned around and looked. Beautiful photos. It said Churches of Decatur, Alabama. Absolutely gorgeous. But it was not one church that I knew. Not one church from Old Town. And I said to my, I said, you know, somebody ought to do something about this. It clear as day. I tell everybody it had to be God, because it wasn't me, because I had no intention of doing this. None whatsoever. I'm going to tell you the truth. As clear as day, he said, "Why not you?" I said, "I can't do that." He said, "Yes, you can." I said, well, I'm not going to do it. I said, I'm not doing that. He wrestled. I had no peace for about 3 weeks. I'm serious. It just would not leave me. So I said, you know, it's crazy. Here I am having a debate with God. I said, here I am debating with God. It's crazy. But I did. And it's clear when after about 3 weeks, I said, okay, God, leave me alone. I'm going to do it. So that's how I got started. I said, okay, I can't do this by myself. So I sat down and decided, I got to have a board. So I said, okay, I need historians. I need leaders from the community, leaders from the white community, leaders from the black community. So I set out to get my board. And once I got them assembled and got them together and told them what I wanted to do, they were everybody on board from day one. On board. Had absolutely no problem. Dr. Ragland and Peggy has been, and Dr. Judge Breland, they say, you paint, we'll do the research. You can't stay in the archives all day and paint. We'll do the research, you paint. So that's how we got started.
So was that when you started painting?
Yeah.
Was that moment?
No, I had...
You had painted before?
I had about 2 or 3 years before I had started painting classes, 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
And until COVID, well, really until I had knee surgery, I had to go and have knee surgery last... I had my knee surgery the week before they closed the hospital. I went in and had surgery March the 12th, had knee surgery, sent me home March the 13th.
Wow.
Yeah.
A year ago today, right? Or
huh?
It's today the 13th?
Yeah. It's a year ago when they sent me home. I had it on the 12th. And they gave me a COVID test when I went to hospital on the 12th. That's because if you got COVID, you can't have the surgery.
Yeah.
So I didn't have COVID, so they did that surgery, and they got me up at night and sent me home the next day.
Oh, my gosh.
They did it fast.
I'm serious.
Well, it's good that you got it in, because if it would have been much later, you probably wouldn't have had it.
Yeah, seriously.
For another year. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So that's how I got started. And believe it or not, like I said, until I had knee surgery, COVID hit, I still go to a painting class once a week. A bunch of us ladies get together, we go to paint. I go painting class. And I have gone, I still can't draw worth a flip. I'm going to tell you the truth. I still can't draw worth a flip. But I have always had a flair for colors, and I just always have, and glitz and glam. I've always had that. But now, I've had so many drawing classes, and I still can't draw with flip. I'm gonna tell you, it takes me forever to sketch out anything. I want to be able to just do this. Sometimes it takes me 2 days to sketch out something. And believe it or not, one of my sponsors in Birmingham, he is he's a structure engineer, but he's a financial advisor now, but he went to college as a structure engineer. I get bogged down so bad. Sometimes I said, I know the lines are not right, but I just can't get it. Send me a picture. I'll send him a picture. I cannot understand. I can't see it very well. He has driven up from Birmingham and come here and helped me get a picture.
Really? He couldn't see the picture on his phone or whatever. So he's like, I'll just come on.
Well enough. Yeah. He has driven from Birmingham and helped me get the lines right on the picture. I'm serious. And I used the water from the Tennessee River to do all my watercolor. And, of course, they think I'm absolutely crazy down Tennessee River dipping water. It's so odd. If you could see the expression on some of those people's face, they say, I'd be down there with my mother, old dipper, with jugs and dipping them. They look at me. What man came by? I try to go when there's not a lot of boats pulling in down there, because there's a lot of them. I just turn around and come on back home and just wait there. Anyway. One day I was down there and a man came, was pulling his boat in. I just kept dipping my water. He said, ma'am, "Oh, you can't catch any fish like that." I said, "Well, I'm not trying to catch fish. They're not going to spill. I'm an artist, and I'm doing this. That's the community you're in here." I said, "This is Old Town, and I'm doing this Old Town, and I'm using this wall to paint my picture, blah, blah, blah." I went to the whole spiel. He looked at me. If you could have seen his expression.
What led you to start using water from the river?
Yeah.
Well, think about it. Old Town is sitting on the Tennessee River. And I think of that as, when you think of the Tennessee River as it flows, your legacy flows. And I think of that bringing unity to the community. All of it works together. And that was my concept of using the water from the Tennessee River. The unity that it brings, and think of, we trying to create a legacy that will last and flow forever. I said, in the Tennessee River, it never stopped flowing. So, and I said, and then we're sitting right here, and this is our main resource in the city. So, why not use it? And in the museum phase two, I'm doing I got all of these engineering architecture. I said, listen, I got to have a huge waterfall of filtered Tennessee River water, because this collection is the Tennessee River water. I want that water flowing down granite stone with all of the Scarborough boys' face etched in it, and the water flowing down over the, and a passage from Judge Horton, one of his statements he made during the trial. I want that passage right underneath all their faces. I got all these ideas, honey. But
yeah.
Come back over here if you don't mind.
Okay, you want the light on?
No, it's fine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, tell us the passage.
Yeah,
what did Judge Horton say?
Oh, don't ask me that, Taylor. I can show it to you, but don't ask me that. It's something to the effect, justice is only fair to the person that you're giving it to, not the person that's giving it. That's one of the, and he has so many passages in there, because you know when he denied, overturned the jury verdict on Hayward Patterson. No, he overturned the jury verdict, and that to me is profound. It's just when you put it all together, this is something that it's monumental. When you put all this history together, it is something that we cannot ignore. We got to put it out there. And just think of the economic value this will bring to this city.
Sure.
The historical value it will bring to the city.
So what did you study at Tuskegee?
Believe it or not, I went as a biology major, but I switched over. I got a double major in psychology and sociology. Yes, I had got a double major. And I ended up finishing it was Athens College when I was Athens State now. Mm-hmm. But when I finished, it's just Athens College. It's still a Methodist school.
What brought you back to Old Town? Did you want to come back home, or did you...
I never left.
I mean, after school?
Oh, after school. Well, see, after I went to Tuskegee a year and a half, I came home, got married, had my son. I have one son. And then I went to work for a telephone company. I went over to the telephone company to pay the telephone bill one day. And it just dawned in my mind. I said, I asked the young lady, I said, "I need to see you talk to your supervisor, please." She looked, I said, "I need an application for the telephone company." I said, "And if you do not give me one, I am going to report you to EEOC. So she went and got me an application. I put in application. And of course, you know, all the women supports way back then. You had to start off as an operator. Didn't care what kind of degree you had or whatever. You had to start off as an operator. And, you know, so anyway, a week or so went by. I hadn't heard anything from them. My husband, he was a maitre d' at the country club at that time. And, of course, he knew all of the... He knew Jones, who was the district manager at the telephone company. I said, when you go back out there, when you see him, would you tell him that I had put in an application and I have not heard from them? And I want to hear from them. And, I, you know, if I do not hear from them, they're going to hear from me. So, in a week's time, I was hired for the telephone company. And I spent 31 years and 9 months with telephone company. I was an operator for about 8 years. I loved the work as an operator. I did not the hours. Because being alone, the totem pole, I had to work split shifts, Saturdays, Sundays. And you never got holidays off because I was on the bottom of the totem pole. And you know, they go by seniority. And I mean, that was just the way it was. When my term came, I got the better hours too, you know. Yeah. But starting off, it was a, I mean, you go in and work 8 to 12. Go back and work from 5 to 9. Your whole day is messed up. Mm-hmm. And that's what, yeah, you may work a split shift today. Tomorrow you get a 3 to 11 tomorrow, or a 4 to 12. So I said, I got to hurry up and get out of this department. But they had a education program. Most of my, to finish my education, they paid for most of my college.
Wow.
They sure did. I worked and went to school part-time for about 5 years before I finally got my degree. I sure did. And we had the opportunity, you know, you could swap hours with other operators, whatever. So if my class was like at 9 o'clock in the morning, if I had on schedule, if I had to be there at 9 o'clock, I'll swap out somebody, take their 3:11, they take my shift. We could do that, interchange, you know, hours like that. So that's what I did until I went down to, they call it the frame. And what we did, the guys went outside and did all of the cables in the city of Decatur run underground. They run underground back to a central office. And I worked in the central office where we did the wire. It's not, when I was doing it, it was not always electronic stuff then. You had to physically wire up when you got your telephone number. You had to run a jumper from your cable pair to your office equipment. And all of this had to correspond with everything in the field. So what the guys put in the field, your cabling pair, it had to correspond with what's in the central office. So the ladies in that group, we did the central office work. When you had rotary numbers, you know, when you used to have roll over from one number, we had to wire all of that up, and you had to make sure you wire what your two numbers were rotary. Go into another man's number. It was so interesting. When they went to all electronic stuff, it was no brain. I didn't like it at all because you didn't even have to think. You know, you just put one wire and put in computer. That was it.
Too easy.
Too easy. Yeah, too easy. Mm-hmm. But I had a wonderful career with telephone companies, just like it was another lifetime. But I had a wonderful career with telephone companies.
Is Miss Freeman, so speaking of Miss Freeman, is the park named after her? Is that where?
Yeah, it's the Dallas Freeman Park.
Is that where Fannie Hayes' house was?
It's behind. It's up on, the Fannie Hayes house is up on Church Street. Remember that park goes from there and kind of goes back to Church Street, right up there for the Fannie Hayes. And, you know, we had a Hotel Hilda. Mm-hmm. We had what's the name of it?
You had a painting of it over there.
Yeah, right? My mind gone blank. Hotel Hilda, and what's the other name of the motel? mind on blank. Bismarck. Yeah, Bismarck and the Hotel Hilda was in Old Town. And we also had a candy factory.
Well, I saw that too somewhere.
Yeah,
here.
We got had a candy factory in Old Town.
On Church Street?
The candy factory was on Railroad Street. Okay, you know where the train depot is? Mm-hmm. Well, where the train depot is right now, right across the street, where it's a parking lot now, mm-hmm. That is where the fire in the police department was.
Across the tracks? Across the street?
Here's a train depot going down Railroad Street. Uh-huh. Right across this road is a parking lot now where the police park the cars at
okay.
Now.
Yeah.
That's where the police and fire department was sitting.
Okay.
Yep, I got a picture of somewhere in here.
Was the courthouse over there too at one point?
Not there.
Okay.
So all of these pictures that you have, where did those come from?
Well, we found them. Archives, people giving it to us. And also, several years back, before Melinda Dunn, she was CEO of the Tourist Bureau. Now Danielle Gibson is she's on my board, and Melinda was too. Years back, she got a grant, and she had a grant where she went around and tried to get photos and get some of the photos of the houses before they were torn down. So she had a bunch, she had a box of stuff I got stuff from them, and they had some microfiche on some microfilm up at City Hall.
Okay.
I went up there and looked through some of them, so I just got pictures from kind of like everywhere.
So City Hall and then the lady that got the grant,
mm-hmm.
A lot of them came from there.
Yeah, and Peggy, Dr. Ragland, and individuals.
So they would just give you copies of the pictures that they had?
Yeah, and then some of them, they would just send me a picture and I send it to the printer.
Right.
And yeah.
So are we in Westtown right now?
Yeah, what they call Westtown. That's where you are now.
What is Crosstown?
That's Old Town.
Same thing?
Yeah, that's the same thing. When you people talk about Crosstown, it's Old Town.
And was it called Crosstown because the railway went through there? Because you crossed it to get from one part of town to another?
Yeah, and that's what we call it, a Crosstown. And you know, you go over that little bridge by the cemetery there.
Uh-huh.
It's Crosstown.
It's a nice photo of Lakeside.
So it's closer to the Dancy Polk House than to the park.
What is?
Where Fanny Hayes is.
It's closer to, it's where, it's like almost across the street. It runs, the back of it running to the Ella Freeman's Park, and the front of it was facing the Dancy Polk House. Not facing, but you know you got to go
it's
around the circle.
Okay.
You know, you remember to go around that little circle there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The park hates on this side, and then that's the Dancy Polk House, didn't they?
Okay. So Fanny Hayes' house was kind of in between where the park is and Dancy Polk.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And that bridge has been there a long time.
As long as I can remember.
But it
now
used to be for like...
Well, but then now you know that is really the bridge now there. That is not the original bridge that used to be there. Because they tore that down and we just insisted the city put it back up, something back up. Because they was going to take it down completely. And they did, but we insisted they put something else up so we can get across.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
so,
by foot. Yeah.
That's what on the map now. That's not the weather. That's not the original.
So that's on Vine Street, correct?
Yeah, this was the wind cleaner, one of the cleaners I told you, the cleaners we had.
There was Wynn Cleans, that's a teenage ballroom, and then the family lived upstairs there.
Now, this is to the left of the Baptist Church, if you're facing the church.
If you're facing the church, it's on the same side, but it's a block and a half down, on the corner of,
towards the tracks, or?
No, going back toward Highway 20.
Okay.
Okay.
It's closer.
I just need to take you all and show you these things.
No, I think Peggy's done it and Dr. Ragland's done it. Okay. And I'm finally starting to recall and remember what everything is.
Yeah, this was the teenage ballroom. This is the cleaners. Wynn's cleaners.
And then this was the teenage ballroom.
And then a family stay upstairs. Across from this building, the Wynn brothers, they had a service station there. And when the service station went out of business, Miss Billy Phipps put her beauty shop in there. As I told you, the first freestanding, because most of the black people who had beauty shop was in their house.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is closer to King's Memorial.
Right. King's Memorial is right now. Mm-hmm. It's catacorder right there on that corner. That's where it was.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking, but I'm still trying to confirm these things, you know? Because the addresses, even if you can get the actual address for something, you can look that address up on the map and it's still on the...
Mm-hmm. And then the Navy store was next to that?
The Navy store was one of the names, Frank Navy. Not Mike Navy. Mike Navy was further down the street going toward the railroad track, but Mike Navy, the line was further down.
Okay.
Right here, okay. See this? They sit in this corner. Frank Namer's store was across the street. There's a street right here. Mm-hmm. Frank Namer's store is sitting on that corner. Building's still there, but nobody's in it.
That's the one that's the Owls?
It used to be Owls, uh-huh. He took it over, Frank Jr., uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Same building. Like the building that was the Namie stores.
And across the street right here, on this street corner, was where Miss Billy Phillips and her family stayed for five generations.
Billy Phillips.
Mm-hmm. Miss Billy Phillips, the lady I told you who's 98 when she died.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Where's this?
That's on the corner of Vine and Madison, I think. I got that picture somewhere.
I didn't see.
That's the only one.
Oh. I had a photo of something that said it was the sandwich shop. But it didn't have a sign on it.
Oh, okay.
I think it was one of those, I told you, that it was actually after they'd gone out of
business.
Where was this?
Let's see. A Smithers grocery store. That's a grocery store on the low end of Church Street. It used to be the Dempson. And they stayed in the back of a white family. Mr. and Mrs. Dempson. They stayed in the back of the store.
Mm-hmm.
And after they died, the Smithers purchased it. And ran it. Uh-huh. This is on Church Street down there. Really right beside what the old Masonic building is.
Which is...
That's about to fall down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We looked at that last
year. That store's right next to it.
I remember now.
What's the haunted house?
Oh, you didn't see it? Well, that is really it is really the Howard Namie Sykes house. The Howard's head, which was a white family... Mike Namie, the line man, bought it later, and he sold it to Met the Site, which was a black family who owned funeral homes and stuff and everything.
Yeah.
Okay. I got it over here. I know it's out here somewhere. And the kids used to call it the haunted house. Now, it's crazy. It's set right across from Rim Funeral Home. Now...
Is that why people called it the haunted house?
No. No, I'll show you why we call it the haunted house. You'll see it when you see the drawing. And it had a
on this side of it, just an alley to go down here from Vine Street over to Lafayette Street. And we was always said this was haunted, but it's so crazy. We wouldn't even walk on this side of the street, but we'd walk on South Street where the funeral home was. Now, how much sense did that make?
Because it was probably more haunted.
Tell us about Daisy Nolan.
That's an interesting lady. Very interesting. She was the rich person in the neighborhood. She stayed on Church Street. Her house is still standing, but they have done some modification to it. She had her own butler and her own maid. Mm. And she was big in the Methodist Church, not Kingsmore, a Methodist church in Easttown. Anyway, she collect dolls. The most important thing for this, what we remember about Miss Daisy, you know, she would have all these dolls in the window. And of course, they were all white. You know, there was no black dolls back then. So she had all these dolls with all blonde hair and black, all kind dolls. And she was very giving. She was, I mean, gave to the church and everything. And she would have her chauffeur, this was her car. And she would have him to go pick up the little ladies from the church. They'd come over, have a little tea party and the little meetings at her house. And her request, when she died, her dolls would be married with her. So there were two graves and two caskets.
No, but you also...
We were looking for her grave and we couldn't find it.
You was up in the Sykes Cemetery? Mm-hmm. Did you just look up there? Well, Dr. A will probably tell you where it is. And of course, that's what goes back again. Children did not know what old adults did.
Right.
They tell me that she did numbers. Now, I do not know. I don't, like I said, we did not. All we knew, Miss Daisy Nolan was a rich lady. She had all these cookies and things she gave us and, you know, all this stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
So nobody knows.
No.
Was this in Old Town as well? The lumber company?
Yeah, I got a picture
right
there.
Right along the river?
Somewhere. Yeah, it's Gobble Fights now, but at that time it was Gobble. They lived in Old Town.
And that's Miss Daisy's car.
Yeah.
So is it still around?
No. But he couldn't find it. That's why I put the car with her.
Right.
The young guy, his mother, who was one of her maids, he told me, he said, I have got the original registration for the car.
Right.
So he's supposed to be looking up, finding. That's what I was going to put with the car. But when he couldn't come up with it, when I was ready to frame the picture, I said, well, okay, I got to put something there with her, with the car.
Right.
So that's why I put her there. But I want that original receipt for that car, what I really want. And he hadn't brought it to me yet. But he said, I got it. He said, I just got to find it. Civil rights, the numbers don't lie. Civil rights building museum are the top attraction right now. They are the top attraction. I said, if we do this and do it right, I envision like having all these little shops just like it was years ago. But if you go into G.W. Goff Barbershop, you saw the sign, it's a picture of the barbershop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Mr. G.W. Goff had that barbershop for 50 years before he retired. Same spot on Vine Street. You might walk in a G.W. Goff barbershop, it might be an ice cream parlor. Go into Wynn service station, you may have a sandwich shop. Gift shop. Green Frog Cafe, maybe a gift shop. I want to retain the names of all of the old shops that was in Old Town. That's my vision.
And have the exteriors be...
You have the exterior like they was years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
That is my vision for our
the whole section over there. That's my vision. I know it's going to take, I might not be here to see, but that's my vision of rebuilding Old Town.
But step one is remembering,
absolutely.
I guess.
Mr. Harris, it was, he had a TV radio repair shop. Mr. Harris.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then you had Mr. Garth, G.W. Garth Barbershop, Green Frog Cafe, and it was another little juke joint that God knows, I just can't remember the name of it. Because I'm going to tell you the truth, we were not allowed on this wing of Vine Street. Oh! No, we were not allowed on that street. On this end of Vine Street, we were not allowed. Well, my mother did not allow us there.
Because of the juke joint?
Yeah. No, I'm going to tell you, don't lie. That's the truth. And then on this very, then, okay, over here was JoJo's original grocery store over there. Okay, and on this end right here, you had a coal yard. Now, we had another coal yard further up Vine Street, Mr. Johnson. This was owned by the white man. Mr. Johnson was owned by the black man. He was further down this end of Vine Street. And I got his picture, and I don't have a picture of the coal yard, but I got it in my mind. I think I can do it in my mind. I just hadn't got around to it. And then you come across here, it's coal yard. Then you come across the street, which is Sycamore Street.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you're going to have, let me see, First Baptist. BCB,
there.
And but you got Turner Searle Center right here. Come across the track, you then got the train station.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and on this side of the street, First Baptist, on this end, before you, on this side of Sycamore, was that Mrs. Busby, the Southern Cafe.
Southern Cafe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Green Frog. Uh-huh. Frog. Okay.
Green Frog
Cross
from First Baptist. And it's so interesting. It shows you how we were brought up and the respect we had for the church. Anytime First Baptist Church, and this was a known thing in the community, anytime First Baptist, if they had a meeting or anything going like on Wednesday night or whenever they had a meeting or something, now Miss Susan Wright, she was a member of First Baptist. She was there every Sunday and was liberal, giving money, whatever. No kids was allowed in Green Frog Cafe. She allowed no kids in Green Frog. But anyway, when they was having meetings, if the music was too loud or the people was too loud, they said Elder Clarence Pope, he was a big man with a booming voice, said he would just go right over to Green Frog and tell them they can turn it down or turn it off. Miss Susan Wright would make them turn the jukebox off and everything. I don't care what went on Saturday night. Come Sunday morning, that street was clean. That street was clean. It was no debris. You don't have that's just the respect they had for the church. We had Mr. Johnson Cole, y'all was sitting up on stilts, and the window was all across the front. You go up the stairs to his into his office. Oh no, honey, they had their office and everything.
I didn't know, I mean, you know, yeah. Coal yard, I didn't really know what to picture, you know.
Oh, yeah, they had their building there for their office, yeah.
Were these residential areas, or was it?
All of this, we had houses all along this way. You had a store, grocery store in here. The houses and all the bills just all mixed up together when you get on down here. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's Grove and then Madison. Right.
Glad you're doing this.
See, I brought this thinking we could like
fill in the gaps.
We're really talking about that teeny tiny little area there. It's a little hard to see.
So, across from the church on Grove,
Okay, see.
Was this, what were on these corners?
Oh, excuse me. Let me see. Right here. That's what they originally told you about the NCO Club. Okay, NCO Club turned into a, end up being a house. Okay, end up turning to a big house. But years ago, the NCO Club was right there. And then down this, in this part of the section, we had, Dr. Pleasant had a, Dr. Pleasant was a doctor here in Decatur.
Mm-hmm.
We had, and then right here, see right here, what Tatum House, where our restaurant was, that right here. And then you had a house right next to the Tatum House. It's a house right next, it was a house right next to us.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So, the club, doctor's office, house.
Uh-huh.
What was the NCO club?
What, you know, they had, you know, remember the, oh God, remember the base in Cortland, it was Air Force Base in Cortland, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And the soldiers would come up to the NCO, of course, it was, I was not, a, you know, I was way, way kid when all this was going on, but they would, this would, they would come up and dance, whatever,
yeah, okay.
Whatever they did,
okay.
You know. Uh-huh.
So then it's Madison Street. Madison.
Okay, Madison Street gonna be right here.
And McCartney comes after that.
Madison Street should be right here. And it had houses, you know, and everything. And,
Is King's Memorial there now?
King's Memorial,
Or is it on McCartney?
That's right.
Okay.
King's Memorial was on McCartney Vine. Oh, that's Kingsmore down there. And across from Kingsmore was Frank Namy's store. Okay, and right here where you got, where Kingsmore is now,
mm-hmm.
It used to be Mr. Billy Fitz's house. You could house is here. And then Mike Namy was right here, and Leo the Lion was here, and Eli was here.
On the same side as Frank Namy.
Uh-huh. Okay. Frank Namy. Okay, you had Frank Namy. Then you had their house. They had a house in there. And then there was another house. And then there was Dr. Sherrard's house right here. This was Leo. This was Eli. And right, and then Mike Namy's store was right here. Across from the Eli and Leo. And Dr. Sherrard was right here.
Okay.
Yeah.
This was the movie theater.
Yeah. And then and Leo
Lion.
Was sitting right here.
Huh.
Yeah, he was right here.
So, Frank, is this where there's owls?
Uh-huh.
Or the building where
yeah.
owls
mm-hmm.
used to be?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
And then, let me tell you this, okay. And then see right here is where the teenage ballroom
okay.
and wind service station.
Which are right next door to each other.
Uh-huh. Which they was connected together. That building was connected together.
So what can you tell me about the teenage ballroom?
I was not allowed in.
You weren't allowed?
No.
Not on that block either, huh?
I was, no. I mean, we would go up to the name of the girls before going into the teenage ballroom. No, I was not allowed in. But, no, we walked up to the Frank Namy's and, you know, and went to the cleaners and whatever. And went walked right by the teenage ballroom, but I was not allowed in. That's what teenagers got together and stayed to 10, 11, 12 o'clock. See, I couldn't stay out that kind of.
Mm.
That's just bottom line.
Mm.
I was not allowed to stay out.
That's just.
And they went, they just danced, and that's all they did. Because it was just a big ballroom, and the lady.
They have bands play and.
Well, now, I don't remember them having bands in there, but I know they when we grew up now before it was gone. But I know they had jukebox in there. Yeah, but now if bands came in there, I just can't remember them having bands up there. I really don't.
They were just playing records.
Yeah, uh-huh.
But it was like dance hall.
Yeah, dance hall.
Okay.
For teenagers. Uh-huh.
Now what was across from there?
Across from the teenage ballroom,
yeah.
On the other side, I've told you had that wind service station was turning to Miss Billy Phillips' view shop.
Okay.
on the corner.
Uh-huh. Then you had houses all the way back down. You going on down by the street. Okay, you had homes. And further on down. And then you had homes all the way from the teenage ballroom. Mm-hmm. You had houses all the way down there. And then sitting here, right here on this corner, Washington and Vine, there you had rentals. Well, it was, of course, the cottage home and firm then.
Before. And that was, you said, the first lot on the corner was on the corner of Washington and Vine.
That was the house is there now, but it was Realm Funeral Home. The cottage home and firm was there first.
Yeah.
Then it went to Realm Funeral Home after they died. And then after Urban Renewal came in, of course, Realm burned. Then Urban Renewal came in and they built a house. Miss Billy Phillips moved there from off of this corner. Miss Billy Phillips moved there.
The home, the Sturgis home, became the funeral home.
Right. Because when Realms got it, the funeral home was right here.
On the corner.
Uh-huh, at the bottom part. And he lived upstairs.
And Mrs.
And I think he just stored stuff over here. I think. And then eventually that was gone.
But before, it was Reynolds' funeral home with him living upstairs. This is where Dr. Sturgis lived.
Right. Uh-huh.
And this is where he was referring.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Okay, so it switched. And one became my home and one became... Gotcha.
Yeah.
So do you have any... are there a lot of people who grew up in Old Town that are still living in the neighborhood?
In Old Town? Yeah, even though when they rebuilt, they gave them the options to rebuild. Yeah, it's a lot of people from Old Town still in Old Town. But you got a lot of them gone. A lot of them just have passed.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't really know any of these young, so I'm going to be frank with you.
Right.
When I see somebody, they speak to me, I said, tell me who your grandmother is, then I'll know. Because years ago, you knew every black family that lived in East Town, West Town, Oklahoma, and we even have, you know, when you come across the bridge from like Huntsville, and you turn there, and that motel, what's the name of the motel now? It used to be Holiday Inn.
Yeah, I know.
But you know what I'm talking about. I can't think of the name of it. That was a black community. That was called Campbell's Quarters. That was a black community. And if you notice, you'll see a house across the street still there. That's one from one of the houses from one of the old neighborhoods. That's where Lovett the Pates lived in that house. Yeah. And right up on the next corner where Leon Sheffield School is over there. That's where Mr. Leon Sheffield's mother, him, lived when he first came to Decatur. Yeah. But years ago, you knew every black person in the city. But now, since all these plants came in and bust everybody in, I don't know half of the black people in Decatur. Not even half.
Because they're not from here.
No, because they're not from here. But you knew everybody. I mean, and when I grew up, you know, people used to sit on the porch all the time when I grew up. And we would think, oh, God, we get so too. Every house, how you doing, Miss Lewis? How you doing, Miss Cleo? You spoke to every, and if you didn't, your mother knew about it.
Right. So
I would like to maybe find a church mother and some of the older, or some of the congregations that are maybe still in Old Town, like King's Memorial or First, and maybe someone who grew up in Old Town, maybe, and like, we're kind of looking for other people to tell stories about the neighborhood. Do you have any recommendations or any people that you think would be good for us to talk to?
Now, Leo Gray, Joe Porter, they are like 7 or 8 years older than I am.
Now, Leo Gray was a...
played
with the Rough Riders, right?
Right.
And also,
Leah,
do you think you touch with him?
I'm sure, because Leo, he belongs to our church I belong to, but he didn't grow up in our, Leo grew up in First Baptist. Leo grew up in First Baptist, but he married a young lady who goes to, her family grew up in the church I go to, so they got married. He came, started coming to our church. I'm trying to think, because see, most of the old folks, I wish my aunt was still living, honey. She could. I tell you, somebody else is good if you can get, but he's on dialysis. But this summer he was doing fine. Kenneth Reeders. He can tell you from.
Oh, yeah, we met
him. We talked to him.
Did you? Okay, you talked to him.
I mean, shortly, yeah.
Okay.
We got a little taste of the walking around and saying hey to everybody on their front porch when we were with. Dr. Ragland.
Okay.
He was great. I'd love to talk to him again.
Okay.
Now, tell me about Joe Porter.
Joe Porter was he grew up right down Vine Street. His family lived as you're going down Vine Street from Reynolds Funeral Home, probably the second block from there. His family, Mr. and Mrs. Porter, and he grew up there.
Okay.
Joe Porter. Matter of fact, he lived like a block and a half over here. But like I say, the problem is a lot of these people in bad health. You know what I'm saying? They kind of not too well. I mean, but they're still up and going. But you know, see who else.
And we're trying to tread carefully, especially because of.
And honey, Miss Anna Freeman will be perfect.
Well, I think that Peggy had said. You know, because I think Carrie asked her in an email, you know, like, we just, anybody that you can think of that we could talk to, and Miss Freeman was the first person she came up with, but she seemed to think.
But she's a little shy about, and I don't know how in the world she's shy, she taught the first grade, but she doesn't particularly like cameras, she doesn't particularly like, now, if you're sitting out playing cards with her over there and dancing, and she's just the life of the party. But sitting in front of a camera, she just kind of, like I say, it took us getting Billy to get her on board, because for 3-4 years, she just refused to do it for us.
Yeah.
Let me see.
So she's 103?
She's 102 or 301 now.
I think I met her daughter.
Really?
Does her daughter live here?
Her daughter-in-law. She just had one
daughter-in-law. That's correct.
That's Jewel Jackson. That's Billy Jackson's sister.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's Jewel. She kind of looked at. She Jewel was married to her son in one time.
Okay.
Yeah. And Jewel, after he's dead, but Jewel, kind of watch me. Take care of her. Oh, she in better shape than I am. When we go to class reunion, she dances more dances than I dance. I'm serious. let me think of some more.
Now, what did Miss Freeman do, like growing up, or her family? Like what?
I think her family's from Lawrence, kind of Cortland, back down.
Right. So she moved up here later as an adult. Okay.
I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think of some. And believe it or not, Miss Etta Freeman and Mr. Briggs, they are only the two only teachers from Miss Rogers. She might. Now, Miss Rogers wasn't born here, but she'd been here for years and years and years. The both of them were educators. Her husband taught at Lakeside. Mr. Charles Rogers, he taught at Lakeside. Now, she lives right on this corner over here. She might be able to tell you, because that family lives over in Old Town, and when she married Mr. Rogers, that's where they stayed over in Old Town, the home. All the doctors we had, because Dr. Caldwell and Dr. Williams, they end up both leaving after Old Town, kind of like they both left.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Pleasant, none of his kids, they left and went to Atlanta. None of his kids here. Dr. Harris, they just dead. They gone. Mm-hmm. And they, none of the old people that I grew up with, it's just, and most of their kids are dead.
Were y'all talking about the Namies earlier?
Yeah.
And I told you, Frank Namie, I told you, unless he's passed in the last 6-7 months, because with COVID going, I hadn't had seen Frank out or any, but he used to work, till he got free stuff. He worked part-time at Walmart and in the paint department. Every time I go to Walmart, I make sure I go over there and talk to Frank. But I saw him at the one service station year before last year, before COVID started. Mm-hmm. I saw Frank at the service station and we talked, and he was really in bad health. He could hardly get in and out the car. But now, like I say, his sister Pat,
Mike was his brother, is that correct?
Mike and Frank, I think they were cousins, but now I might be wrong on that.
Okay.
I got Pat's telephone number. It might not be good now. let me see if I can find my book.
Did she grow up in right there on...
She grew up right on Vine Street, right next to their grocery store. And it's so ironic now, when you think of it. Now, just think of this. Now, they live in the neighborhood, played with us, but they went out to a white school and came back to Old Town every evening. Now, how crazy is that? But that's the way it was, and that's what happened.
And they were Lebanese?
Yeah. Yeah. Pat, I thought Patton was Jews all the time, but she corrected me, told me that they were Lebanese. But we all thought that we all... long growing up when I was a kid, we always thought the names were Jews, but they were Lebanese.
Yeah.
Did they go to church? Huh? Like, were they Christians?
No, I don't know. But for some reason, I always thought Patton went over to the Catholic Church. Now, I might be wrong about that.
What was the Namie warehouse?
Where was the warehouse?
Yeah, did they have a warehouse on Vine Street?
No, they just brought the food in.
I had a picture somewhere at home that somebody had labeled as being the Namie warehouse.
Well,
now it may have meant...
It might have been before my time.
Uh-huh.
But they didn't have where... Because right behind that store, when you go down Grove Street, where the store is sitting... Mm-hmm. House was right behind the store. House was right behind the store.
Okay.
So I know if they had a warehouse somewhere in Old Town, I don't remember that.
The photo looked like, and it may be one of the ones that we saw in that stack, it looks like a store. It doesn't look like a warehouse.
No, it
just looks like
a store.
Yeah.
I mean, they sold all kind of stuff. Oh, Lord. Now, don't be surprised if Pat won't talk to you, okay?
Okay, yeah.
Because I've asked Pat for photos and things, and I called her a couple of times. She said she'll look them up, and I called back a couple of times. She told me she didn't have time to look for them. So, let me find the
photos. Frank had apparently taken a lot of the old photos down to the archives.
Yeah, he did. And a lot he gave was ruined too. A lot of them. But a lot of he gave was, you know, they was had been destroyed. So he had gobs of pictures. He had pictures of some of the relatives that I don't even remember.
That are now at the archives.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm.
So it was the Elite Theater, not the Elite Theater. The
Elite.
Okay. And it was the Navy. Okay.
You see all how he bought movies and how much he paid for them when he ordered movies?
$12.50.
Oh, I tell you, a good person. Laura May was raised by the Gobble, who had the Gobble Lumber Company, I say.
M-A-E or M-A-Y-E?
What, M-A-E, Laura.
Laura May Vincent?
She's Vincent now. L-O-R-A Vincent. V-I-N-S-O-N.
L-A-R-A?
L-O-R-A.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So her family owned...
That Gobble site, you know, the drawing I showed you where the first lumber that came, I did a picture of the first lumber.
Gobbles?
It's Gobble, G-O-B-B-L-E.
Okay.
It's Gobble site now, but at that time it was just Gobble. Let me show you something. Let me show you this.
The lumber yard.
It's
the one with the truck, right?
Yeah.
The big truck with the big log?
With the horse.
Yeah,
that was the first load of lumber went out of, yeah.
Wow,
okay.
That's really cool.
Yeah, that's Laura May. And you just tell her, we grew up when married. Now, she grew up her and my husband were playmates. Nathan and Laura May were playmates. So when I got married and moved up there, when Nathan home started, that's how I met Laura.
Mm.
Uh-huh. And Laura's son and my son were playmates. Tad and my son Nathan was playmates.
And then she still lives locally?
She's locally, but she is all the way on the other side of the Beltline, past the mall, in condos or senior citizens. That's where her and her husband live now.
So, you have a painting. You have a painting of the home you grew up in, right?
Somewhere.
Didn't you say you?
That's when I was married.
Oh, that's the
second
one
house
when you were married.
The first house we stayed in when I first got married was Nathan M. Home House, was in Washington, Nathan Washington. And I don't know if you heard the story, but Nathan's granddad, Mr. Washington, he worked for the railroad. And Nathan would go down there when he came in. See, Wilson Avenue is like two blocks from the train station.
Mm-hmm.
So he would go down to meet his grandfather. One time he was down there. This little white boy stayed in the, anyway, this little white boy ran onto the train track, and the train was coming in. Nathan ran on the track and saved the little boy. He is the only person in the city of Decatur has a Carnegie Bronze Medal when he was 12. Hmm. And I got it, and I got all the photos. Let me show them to you.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm telling you so much history. In old time, you would not believe.
So what year would this have been? 1951.
Okay.
Yeah. February 15th, 1951.
Yeah.
So is Nathan Tate still here?
Oh no, Nathan died.